Today is the feast of the dedication of St. Michael the Archangel. The epistle for this Mass is taken from the book of Apocalypse. In those days, God signified those things which must shortly come to pass, sending through his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, to whatever he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep the things that are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace be to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is coming, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who has loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Please stand for the gospel. The holy gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Matthew, chapter 18, verses 1 to 10. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child to him and set him in their midst and said, "Amen, I say to you, unless you turn and become like little children, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whoever therefore humbles himself as this little child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one such little child for my sake receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it were better for him to have a great millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of scandals, for it must needs be that scandals come. But woe to the man through whom scandal does come. And if your hand or your foot is an occasion of sin to you, cut it off and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter life maimed or lame than having two hands or two feet to be cast into the everlasting fire. And if your eye is an occasion of sin to you, pluck it out and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you, their angels in heaven always behold the face of my Father in heaven." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Before we give some explanation and details about this feast, we want to just give a little bit of doctrine on the Epistle and Gospel, which we really haven't done before. Now, as you know, this book of the Apocalypse that was written by St. John the Evangelist, who is the last apostle to live, and this is the last book he wrote when he was exiled on that island of Patmos. Very mystical, and it is, of course, all about what will happen at the end of time, at the end of the world. He said many comforting words, but many words to make us afraid, afraid about our own judgment when we die, but also at the end of the world. Because it comes down to this: if we're faithful to God, to what we believe, faithful to the Blessed Mother, we will be saved. If we're not, we will be cast into hellfire. We should never think from day to day that we have everything set and we are basically on the road to heaven. That is a very dangerous thought or temptation. as St. Paul says, we go about our faith, our lives, with fear and trembling, paraphrasing. We know people recently, you heard in the news, young people, everything's fine, and the next day they get up and there's an accident, some tragedy, and they weren't prepared. So a feast like this gets us prepared with confidence to go to heaven. But he says, St. John says, grace be to you. So he's invoking God to continue sending grace to all the faithful. Because when St. John and the other apostles and evangelists, the writers of the New Testament, these were letters, they're called epistles, but they're letters to the faithful to encourage them and to warn them. He says, grace be to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is coming, and from the seven spirits who are brought before his throne, and from Jesus Christ. God is sending the Holy Spirit from God the Father through our Savior Jesus Christ, sending grace, sanctifying grace, actual grace, all the time to us, to help us be prepared for our own judgment. And he says, from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Now, of course, the rulers and the kings of this earth, all those who run the world, most of them, I imagine, have read these words or heard of them, and they choose to ignore them because only Jesus Christ is our King, our Savior, our ruler. And he concludes this epistle concludes, to him who has loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. That is the motive for being a Catholic, to being faithful, because God has loved us first. And now we have to return that love. And he gives us many great gifts. And on this feast, those gifts are angels who protect us and guide us. Now, in this gospel, Jesus is speaking to the people and to the apostles, disciples, and he decided to bring a small child right in front of him. He says, amen, I say to you, unless you turn and become like little children, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Turn, meaning convert, and stop being full of pride and a know-it-all. Because when we get older, when we're adults, we think, well, I've given up childhood and all those things. I'm grown up now, and now I can make my own decisions, which is partially true, but we have to remember, we still have to obey somebody. We have to still listen and get advice and counseling and direction. And so our Lord is saying, we have to become like this little child here who is humble and helpless and does whatever he's told to do. That's what we have to do. Sometimes it's a good thing to say to someone, tell me what I should do, because I'm not sure, or I don't trust myself. Whoever therefore humbles himself as this little child, He is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Our Lord, of course, possessed humility greater than any being, his human nature. Blessed Virgin Mary, the most humble of all creatures. Saint Joseph, he's known for his humility. And see, they are the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Because even Jesus Christ as man is humble before his Father in heaven. Even though he's the Son of God, he's very humble and obedient. And the last point on this gospel is a warning for us not to scandalize others, especially children, not to be a bad example, not to do something or say something that makes that person think, well, that's okay, or especially for us, Catholics, traditional Catholics, to ever do something or act in a way, well, they're Catholic and they're traditional, so it must be okay. It's a terrible scandal. Because it can lead to a person even committing a mortal sin. And then we share in that guilt. And you know, the sin of scandal is against the virtue of charity. Because it can rip the person away from God's sanctifying grace that he gives to that person. Now, just as a reminder, and it's good to hear this again, about what angels are and what they do for us. As it says in our catechism, Baltimore Catechism, they are created spirits without bodies, having an understanding and a free will. The word angel means messenger. So all of the angels, the greatest to the least of all angels, are there to do God's bidding. Whatever God wants, he sends them to do a particular work, task, assisting souls, worshiping God in heaven. Whatever their vocation, we could say, is. So it signifies, the word angel signifies their office, not their nature. Now, even though reason cannot prove the existence of angels, it indicates it because even philosophers before Christ in Greece, Plato and others, reasoned to the existence of angels because they saw, looking at creation, that they are mere sentient creatures, like animals. And then they realized human beings are part material, physical, but we have an immortal soul. We have something spiritual about us. So it makes sense, because they believed in God, though it may have been not correct, they believed in a higher being that created all things. Well, they reasoned that there are creatures that are spirits between man and God, and those are angels. In the Divine Office for today, the references and invocations are not just to Saint Michael, the Archangel, whom we honor today, but to all of the angels. And in fact, the Feast of the Guardian Angels in a few days, October 2nd, is an extension of this feast to honor the guardian angels. You may remember that it was Constantine, the emperor in the 4th century, near the great city of Constantinople. He built this great church. The Michaelion, the church dedicated to St. Michael the Archangel. And it was known to, for people who visited there, they would receive cures. And in the 6th century, there was a church built on top of where the Roman circus was. You know, they had, the Romans had built these great structures for their games, and there's one called Circus Maximus. And when that was all in disrepair, on top of it and built over it was a church dedicated to St. Michael. And so that's why this feast still holds that name called dedication. There are many references to angels in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. So we know that they exist because of God's word. Daniel the prophet, in his prophecies, in his writings, said there was over 1 billion angels. St. Paul, in his different epistles, the Holy Spirit is telling him to do this, lists 9 types divided into 3 choirs. So here they are: the seraphim, the cherubim, the thrones, dominations, virtues, powers, principalities, archangels, and angels. They all have different functions, and there is a hierarchy in heaven, just as there is on earth, of creatures. Now we hear in our society the last few hundred years that all men are created equal. Okay, that's just a big lie. We've told you that. We're not all equal. God, we're all human, equally human, but we're not all equal in terms of our abilities, our talents, our intelligence, our knowledge. And certainly we are not equal in terms of holiness, which if we have the privilege of being baptized, we receive sanctifying grace. Now, it used to be when God created Adam and Eve, he created them and gave them sanctifying grace at that moment. But now we have the beautiful gift of baptism that God administers through the priest, and we receive sanctifying grace that way. But that gift is tenuous. We can lose it through a mortal sin. When God created all these angels, he gave them sanctifying grace. But because their abilities and their penetration into truth is so far above us, immediately after he created them, he gave them a test, as we've told you, to see if they would be faithful. Because just like us, they have a free will. God, in his infinite wisdom, wants his higher creatures, namely angels and men, to have a free will, not to just do things automatically the way he created them, but to do it because they want to do it. They choose God. They choose to do good. And each creature, each angel, each man, every person who's ever lived has that choice at some point to choose between God and obeying him or not obeying him. And that, unfortunately, is what Lucifer, the greatest angel ever created, and his followers did. They disobeyed God. the revelation of God to them. Some have said, as we've told you, that it was revealed to them at the moment they are created that creatures lower than them would be given this great gift of sanctifying grace. And Lucifer, no, I will not be equal to inferior humans when it comes to God's life. I will not serve. No. Saint Michael and all the good angels said, yes, whatever you wish. Now, the title archangel means a higher angel. Some have said that Saint Michael actually belonged to the seraphim. We're not sure, but he was a very great angel, and he led all the good angels in a great battle in heaven, and he and all his followers, the good angels, cast out Lucifer and the devils, and God created hell. It's believed in the center of the earth. So here are all these angels who thought they were so great. Spirits were confined in a material place inside the earth. And through the course of human history, God has seen fit to let them, these devils, out of hell at times to tempt us. You would think, why would God do that? Because that's what he did. Why would we question God? But we have hints of it from the scripture and from theologians. But it is to allow us to be tempted, to prove our fidelity to Jesus Christ, to God. He also, God, in his wisdom, allows St. Michael and the good angels to come down from heaven to help us when we're tempted. Now, right now, there are many angels before our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. We don't know how many in this chapel. There are all the guardian angels. My guardian angel is nearby. All of your guardian angels are here, helping you to assist at Mass with prayer and devotion and be attentive. And he has given us these guardian angels to protect us, to guard us, hence their name. And as our Lord says, lest we dash our foot against a stone. And the guardian angel can keep us from tripping and falling. I'm sure everyone here can remember a time in danger, and I do remember times where I've been saved from great danger, from a car accident, or from falling from a high place, and I attribute it to my guardian angel. How did I survive that? As we alluded to on Sunday, the quote under our beautiful statue of St. Michael here is, Quis ut Deus? Who is like God? And that those words mean, are translated into Michael or Mikael in Hebrew. meaning who can claim to be like God? And that is very, you can imagine in heaven when St. Michael uttered that, cried it out for everyone to hear, all the angels. You can imagine saying to who, Lucifer, who can claim to be like God to determine right and wrong? And what is in God's wisdom to be done? So by his very act, he has that name. And now we have these new candle globes next to his statue, which make the image and that scene much more beautiful. So we, on this day, we honor all the angels. We only light those candles, as you know, on Christmas, Easter, and Pentecost, and on his feast day. You know a beautiful thought from Saint Jerome? He says that the dignity of a soul, our souls, the human soul, is so great that each of us has a guardian angel from its birth. So the moment we are born into this world, we have an angel, because God gives us this help. But there have been saints who have actually witnessed the soul of a saint in glory, and they thought they were kneeling before God because of the beauty and glory and all this light coming from this human soul that in this vision they had. Now you can see all of these beautiful gifts we've received. And now, how are we going to respond? What are we going to do with it? Well, first of all, on this feast, to pray to Saint Michael, to ask for his protection. We should always say the Saint Michael prayer. Defend us in battle. Whenever we see ourselves going off the track to heaven or tempted, invoke Saint Michael. Ask your guardian angel, help me, even in little temptations. For example, to be impatient or angry with another, even with ourselves. How about asking your guardian angel when you're tempted to be despondent and depressed when you've committed a fault or a sin, or even a big sin? Because when you're tempted, you pray to your guardian angel. But let's say you fail. Well, that doesn't mean you stop praying. That's the time to pray even more. This is, and I'm going to read this to you, from a sermon of St. Gregory the Great. It's part of today's Divine Office. Somewhat lengthy, but I think it's a very good instruction. So he was giving a sermon, and he said, "We must realize, however, that the word angel signifies the office, not the nature. The holy spirits of the heavenly fatherland are always spirits, but they cannot always be called angels. They are angels only when some message is sent through them. Therefore, the psalmist sings, 'Who makest his spirits angels?' as if he wished to make a distinction, to say, as it were, of those whom he has also spirits, some he makes, when he wills, angels. Those who announce tidings of lesser importance are angels. Those who bring more important messages are called archangels. To the Virgin Mary, no ordinary angel was sent, but the Archangel Gabriel. for the delivery of this important message, the greatest of all tidings, it was fitting that the greatest of angels should be chosen. These great angels are also given individual names to characterize their particular power, such as Michael, which means who is like God, Gabriel, the strength of God, Raphael, the medicine of God. Whenever any work requiring great power is to be done, Michael comes forth. Thus, from his act and his name, we are to understand that no one can do what God alone has power to do. Hence, the old enemy, who through pride aspired to be like God, saying, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of heaven, I will be like unto the Most High at the consummation of the world, when he shall be left as prey of his own conceit in everlasting punishment. He is presented to us as about to engage in combat with St. Michael the Archangel. According to the words of St. John, there was a battle with Michael the Archangel. Similarly, Gabriel, whose name means strength of God, is sent to Mary. He came to announce him, who, although he deigned to assume the appearance of humility, came that he might vanquish the ethereal spirits. Raphael's name is, as we have said, interpreted to mean medicine of God, because he touched the eyes of Tobias to heal them and dispel the darkness of his blindness. St. Gregory alludes to this great battle, which will occur again at the end of time in heaven. And once and for all, Satan and his devils will be defeated. Because at the last judgment, and it's good to recall this, we don't know when it is. We heard in the media, people were saying it was going to be last Saturday. Now, anyone who knows anything knows that we don't know the last day. So that was a false story. People thought at the year 2000 it was going to be the case. False. We don't know. But we know that it will come suddenly, as our Lord says. As suddenly as a flash of lightning from the east to the west. And he will be carrying his cross when he appears. And there'll be all these angels surrounding him. And then Antichrist, who will have led many astray, the tool of the devil, like the devil incarnate. Our Lord will face him, and as it says in the scripture, he will, with his breath, he'll blow him away. It'd be good, I think, to light a candle today in the chapel, someplace in the chapel, in honor of St. Michael and your guardian angel. Because those candles, as you know, represent you in your prayers. They continue for the week. And make a promise that you will always invoke your guardian angel and not neglect him. He's your protector. He's your friend. Speak to him. What close friend that you have would you ignore and never talk to? And you know what? Even when we neglect him, he's still there, ready to help and to guard us, because that was his mission, his office given by God out of love for us. So that is maybe the greatest, most beautiful thing about this feast, that God created angels out of love, especially these angels, out of love for us, to help us to reach heaven, to be with Him in heaven. May God bless you.